We begin the current Tav Masechtas Baba Kama Daf Tes, begin 7 lines down for the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion from 2 Daf Mago, from Daf Zayin. Rav Huna Amar, he says that the contradiction we had asked is not difficult. On the one hand, there's a pasuk that says when there's nizak, when there's damages, the pasuk by Shein and Regal says, Uvir biste acher, and Meitav Sadeu, Meitav Karmi Shalom, what do you do when you cause damages? And all the mazik and I learned that from Shein and Regal, that you have to give the best of the fields. On the other hand, there's another pasuk by Bar that says, Kesef Yashav Levalav, you pay back money. So what are you supposed to pay? There seem to be contradictions in the pasuk. So he says, it's not a difficulty. He says, Oy Kesef, either you give him money, Oy Meitav, or you give the best of the fields. It's an option that you have. Now Rashi just points out one thing. The reason why the Gemara only brings Rav Huna over here is because the Gemara wanted to finish up the discussion of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva that was brought up, which was in the beginning of that discussion over there when they quoted from the Mishnah that you have to give from the best of the fields regarding is it Bishal Nizik Sheminan or Bishal Mazik Sheminan. And then that got us into the discussion that when we say like Rabbi Kiva that Bishal Mazik Sheminan, is it Bishal Oilam Hein Shaman or Bishal Lohein Shaman? So that continued. Once we had that, we introduced a Brisa, which was reflecting on that halacha, Bishaloy, Bishaloylam, which spoke about the three different types of Idis and Bainis and Ziburis regarding a Nizakin, Bachayiv, and Ksubasisha, which then that got us into a related discussion regarding when they all come in to collect. Do they collect from what they're supposed to collect from when a purchaser, or is it from the last one, whether you could say EF Shibita Kansacham, and so on. That took us till here, and therefore the Gemara just introduces now this new approach regarding resolving the contradiction, which we had different approaches on the previous Dafim, that of Rav Huna, who says, you can choose. Now, that Eser Rav Nachman, Rav Huna, Rav Nachman asked Rav Huna, from the Brisa that we had quoted there on Dav Zayin, but the Pasuk says, not just Kesef Yash Levalav, that it's either fields like you're saying, or if you want, you can give money, but the Brisa says the term Yashav, which is seemingly superfluous, is L'rabbi Shavah Kesef, is that you can give back anything that's worth money, Afila Subin, even bran, and you said, no, it's either money or fields, you see that it could be anything worth value. So I think my answer is, Hachma Yiskina, what are we talking about over here in the Brisa that says, it doesn't have to be money or fields, you could even give bran, is B'dilesli, is when he doesn't have money or fields. That's what the price is saying. Okay, Yashav is L'rabbi Shavah Kesef. But if you do have, then you have to give either, according to Rav Huna, money or fields. Now that the Gemara asks, E'dilesli, Pshita. Well, of course, if he doesn't have, then it's obvious. We want to get something out of him. If he doesn't have money or fields, of course we're going to take bran. What are you telling me that that's what the Pasuk has to teach us? So the Gemara says, no, what the Pasuk is teaching us, according to the price, is that Ma'udu Tema, what would we have thought to say? Amrinale, we tell the Mazik, tell the one who caused the damage, Zil Tarach Zavin, you go through the effort, and you sell the brand, and you get money for it. Vaisle Kesef, and pay up the Nizik, the damaged party, with money, because you got to give either field or money. Kamash Malam, that's what the Pasuk is teaching us, that no, if you don't have money or fields, you don't have to go through the effort of selling the brand to get money. You could give the damaged party anything worth money, even brand. I think Mark continues in a related discussion that's going to reflect back to this halacha of Rav Huna. I'm Rav Asi. Rav Asi says the following statement. He says, "Ksafim harehin kikarka." Money is like land. So the Gemara says, what halacha is he reflecting when he's saying that money is the same thing as land? If you would say it's regarding that this halacha, that even if a guy has his best type of fields, and the halacha said in the pasuk is that you have to give your best fields to pay the damaged party, and that is what Rav Asi is saying, that even if he has Idis fields, if he wants to, he could pay him up with money, because Ksavim is the same as Karka. Well, then Hainu Rav Huna. Well, then that's essentially the same halacha we just said from Rav Huna, and therefore, instead of saying his own statement of Ksavim and Karka, the Gemara should have just said, Vecheinam Ravasi. So Ravasi says, just like Rav Huna. So El Rav, the Gemara says, he's saying a different halacha. L'shnei Achim Shechalku, it's talking about two brothers that divided up their father's estate after he passed away. V'not lechad Karka, v'echad Ksavim. One brother says, I'm into agriculture, he took all the land. The other brother says, I'm into commerce, he took all the money. Now, a creditor came, and he wants to collect from the father's estate who owed him money. He could only collect from land. So he goes to the brother that took the land and collects the father's debt from the land. Says the Gemara, this is what Ravasi is saying, is that the Azul Hai, that this brother comes, and he goes, V'shokal palga b'safim mahadein. And he goes, and he takes half of what was taken from him, takes that from the other brother who took the money. That's what Ravasi is saying, is that Ksaf Marin Kikarka, the money is the same as the land. In other words, the brother that took the money has to pay up the father, half the father's debt, just like the other brother took the land, who ultimately where it's being collected from, has to give also half of the father's debt. Now that thing I'm going to ask, Peshitta. How can you say that to Rav Asi's halacha? It's obvious. High bra, a high love bra. What? One's a bra, one's a son, and the other one's not a son. In other words, what are you telling me, that you would have thought to say that the brother who took the money is not a son of the father to have to pay up the father's debt, and the one who took the land, he's a son that has to pay up? The collection could only be from the land, but the obligation of paying it up is on the father's estate, which is both for any son. So why would I need Rav Asi to say such a halacha? Obviously, they're both sons. Now, that's one approach to say that that can't be the interpretation. Now, ikida ami adrabada, those that say actually the reason why it can't be the right interpretation is actually the other way around. Le'idach gisa, to the other side, the question is that to the contrary, how could you say to Rav Asi saying that the ksav merin kakarka, that the one who has the money has to pay half, just like the brother who has the land? To the contrary, this approach says that no, that can't be Rav Asi's halacha, because actually the one who took the money doesn't have to pay, is not liable. Because the Amar Lei, because the brother took the money, tells the brother took the land. Wait a second. Lahachi shaklik safim. That's why I took money. Why? Di meganvi lo mishtalam niminach. My understanding was, of course, I'm taking something that's movable. When I took the money, my understanding was, if it's going to get stolen from me, I'm not going to go to you to say, oh, the money was stolen from me, give me half your land. Ulahachi shaklis ara. But that's the understanding why you took the land. The metarfa, because if a balchev of our father, a creditor, is going to come and take away, lemishdalam delach mi diminoi, then you're not going to come collect from me. So to the contrary, this second approach says, not that it's pshita in there, for why does Rav Asi have to say that, rather, but actually this can't be zalacha, because actually the one who took the money doesn't have to give half. And that was the understanding, is when they split it, why you took land and I took money. So Ella Rav, the Gemara says, Rav Asi's halacha was l'shnei achim shecholku, regarding two brothers that split land. Not money and land, one taking money, one land. There was land, and one took half the land, the other one took the other half of the land. Now a creditor comes. Now he could collect from the father's estate, which went over from land. So he takes it from one of the brothers. Where that's where Rav Asi is saying that the other brother has to give half from his half of land to the other brother. Now, what he was saying was, is he could pay up the other brother either with land or with money. And that's what he meant when he says, Ksav Marien Kakarka, which is that he doesn't have to give half of his land to the other brother who had his land taken away from the creditor. Rather, he could give that half either in money or in land. That was Rav Asi's halacha. Now that the Gemara asked, but V'amr Rav Asi chadizin, Rav Asi already said this one time, and therefore it doesn't make sense that he was saying the same halacha in different words. Didma, like we learned, Ha'achim shecholku, regarding brothers that split the father's land, the same exact case. And then the creditor comes and he wants to collect, so okay, I understand, you both have. He takes one of them. So there's a three way machloikis regarding the halacha. Rav Amar batla machloikis. He says the division of land that they originally had made before this creditor came and took from one of the lands is void, and now they have to go back and re-split it equally amongst the brothers because they share that load. Ushmul amaviter. Actually, Shmuel says that no, the guy who had it taken from, his loss, and the other brother doesn't have to give anything. Rav Asi, Rav Asi says, Neitel Raviya Bakarka, he takes a quarter of what was taken from him from land. In other words, he has to give back a quarter of his portion to the other brother, and that could be either land or Raviya Bamais, or a quarter of it with money. Where Rashi points out, although the words in the Gemara are Raviya Bakarka, Raviya Bamais, the first approach that Rashi has is that although there's a vav, and vav usually means and, Rashi brings proof from a Gemara in Yavam is that it could also mean or. So it's that he doesn't have to give him half, which that's that he lost to say, okay, let's split a 50-50. No, he only has to give him 25%. And that 25%, and that's going to be the Gemara's proof, how if you already said this one time, that you could choose to give that in land or in money. So you see that when you're compensating, that it could be either land or money. He already says that over here in this halacha. He wouldn't be repeating it again. But first, the Gemara explains the three machlekes. Rav Amar batel machlekes. He says their original division of the brothers is void, and they have to do it over again. K'savar ha'achem shecholku k'yershim hava, because he holds that brothers that split an estate are like inheritors. In other words, what does it mean? Of course, they're inheritors. It means to say that they inherit their father's obligations, and the responsibility of paying the debt is on both of them. Therefore, both of them have to give up from half of their things. So we just do it over, we split it over again, now again, we get 50-50. Shmuel HaMavita, Shmuel that said that, no, the guy who got it taken away from his laws, K'savar ha'achem shecholku l'kuches, he holds that brothers that split up in the state are like purchasers, which means to say, look, our father is like a seller on some level. Here we go, you're deciding to take that, I'm deciding to take that. We're purchasers. And moreover, it's like each one taking a portion. I'm not responsible for yours. This is what you're taking from the inheritance. Fine, but I'm not taking responsibility for that. And you're not taking responsibility for me. So therefore, whatever you got, you got. And if someone collects from you, it's your loss. So therefore, the other one doesn't have to compensate anything. Now, Ravasi amr neitel revia bekarka revia b'mois. Whereas Ravasi, who he said, according to the first interpretation of Rashi, that he actually gives him a quarter, not half, and neither nothing, but rather a quarter, and you can give that quarter either in money or in land. Misafkali, he was in doubt between these two opinions of Rav and Shmuel. Iki Yershin Dami, do they have Allah of Yershin, and therefore he actually has to give him really 50%, because they have to split a 50-50. Iki Lekuchis Dami, or maybe actually that they're like purchasers, and that he has no responsibility to him at all. So, Hilkach Neitel Ravia. So therefore Ravasi says that there's a compromise between those two interpretations. Therefore, he has to give him half of what would be, because this is what's called suffic mummy. It's money that's in doubt, where we don't know, does he have to give him nothing, or does he have to give him half? And the halacha is, mummin amutl b'safik, when you have money that's in doubt, the halacha is chalkim, that you split it, and therefore he only has to give him half of the half, which is a quarter. Now, it's regarding that quarter that he could pay up his brother, either a quarter bekarka, a quarter of land, or b'revi b'mais, or a quarter with money. So therefore, again, that is the halacha that you're trying to say, that he says ksav ma'arin kakarka. He already says it over here. Now, the other version, the other interpretation of Rashi is that actually when it says revia b'mois, it's not or a quarter of the money. It's like the simple translation would be a quarter of land and a quarter of money. In other words, besides a quarter of the land. Which, that's what he's saying, that ksav ma'arin kakarka, it's the same thing that you got to give from either or, but you have to give from both. Which is, so then what was Ravasi's doubt? His doubt was, like the Gemara says, if they have halacha like Yershim, and then they would have to give him back half of his land, like Rav says, and he can't just get rid of him with money, because they both have the responsibility, so it's the land itself that they both have rights to. Or, like the Gemara says, he wasn't sure if they have halacha like Lekuches, but not like Shmuel, who said that Lekuches Shalei Bachrais, he was saying that maybe they have a halacha like purchasers with responsibility. And therefore, yes, he has to give him back half of what was taken from him, but just like with responsibility, he doesn't have to give him back land, he can give him back money. Therefore, that compromise is, he gives him back a quarter of land, because of the suffix, maybe has a halacha like Yershim, and he gives him back a quarter with money, because maybe he's like someone who sold with responsibility, where you only have to give back money, which Rashi prefers the first interpretation. So ultimately, but the Gemara's question is, so what is Ravasi's halacha somewhere in Kakarka? That he already says over here, where he says that when you have to pay up, he can give either or. So Elamai, rather, the Gemara concludes, what do you have to say when he says that money is harein kakarka, has halacha like land? Must be linya meitim, means regarding a person who damaged someone else. His shor was nogach his shor. So then he has to pay him up. So it's regarding that he says that, yes, although the halacha and the pasuk says that you have to give meitav sedeh, meitav karmi yashan, you have to give the best you land, money is the same thing. You can choose between either or. So that the question is, like we started off, but then that's the same thing as what Rav Huna said, the halacha, and the way he resolves the contradiction of the Pesukim. So the Gemara says, and so to Ravasi says, Kisafim Harein Kakarka, it's the same thing. You could choose which one you want to use to pay up the Nizik. Now continuing with another halacha of Amr Bezeiro Amr Rav Huna, Rav Huna says, B'mitzvah ad shlish. The halacha is regarding a mitzvah, it's up until a third. So the Gemara says, my shlish, what does it mean, up until a third, for a mitzvah? So the Gemara continues on with Beis and says, Ilim Ishlish Beisa, if you would entertain to say a mitzvah, a guy has to spend a third of his money, of his assets, for the purchase of a mitzvah, whether buying a lulav or tzitzis or sefer Torah, well then, Elamayat, if that's the case, if it happens to be that a guy has to purchase three mitzvahs, so Leisa Lekuli Beisa, he has to use up all his money. See, he's got to buy a lulav, that's a third of his money. He's got to buy tzitzis, a third of his money. And then he's done. It doesn't make sense that all his money has to be spent after three mitzvahs. So Elam Rabzeir, rather Rabzeir says, Behidr mitzvah. Rather, we're talking about the beautification of a mitzvah, of doing it in the most optimum way. That halacha is atshlish b'mitzvah, up until a third of the mitzvah itself. In other words, let's say a person has an option of buying two different sefer Torah. One of them is more mehudr, is more beautiful in whichever aspect that it is, whether it be in halacha or aesthetically. So then he has to add on a third of the value and buy the more beautiful one. As the Brisa says in Masechta Shabbos, it says in the Pasuk, Zeh keli va'amvehu. The word amvehu is that I'm going to beautify myself in front of Hashem with mitzvahs. which is you should make a beautiful Sefer Torah, should get a beautiful lulav, a beautiful talis, a beautiful tzitzis. So it's regarding that halacha, that up to a third. Now, on that, the Gemara asks, by your Vashi, shlish milagav, when it says you could buy a certain lulav, and then there's another lulav. So one is a certain amount of money. You say you have to spend up to a third more to get the more beautiful lulav. So the question is it a third from within? So for example, let's say the cheaper one is sold for six. Now, are we saying that you have to spend two more dinarim, which is a third from internal? In other words, if you take six and you split it into three, so then a third of that is two, so then you add on two more to the six to make it for eight. That's how much more you have to spend for the more mahudud one? Oishlish milabar, or is actually a third from the outside. What does that mean? You split up the six that the cheaper one could be into two parts. Then you would add on a third part, which would make it actually three more, because that would be for a total of nine. So the question is, do you have to go ahead and spend on the more expensive one, the Momohodu one, eight, if you're going, if the cheap one's six, or is it actually nine, because that's a third. You could calculate a third more, either from the outside, I mean, this is six and that is nine, or you could say a third from the inside, you take the six and you split up into threes, and then you add on that more third, which is two, which is six, and then it's going to be eight. I think Mar says take it. It's not clear what that third means, if it's milagav or milavar, but the halacha is you have to spend up to a third to get the more mechudadigah mitzvah. Now, b'marava amr mishmeder abzera, in Eretz Yisrael, they said in the name of abzera, that ad shlish, this halacha that we said for hidden mitzvah, you have to spend up till a third of the cheaper mitzvah, is mishalai. Comes from a person's own, so to speak, bank account. In other words, that they don't pay him up in this world, as the Gemara says, today is where you do the work, and today is not the place where you get the reward. That's in the next world. Now, mikam ve'elach, but whatever person adds on to spend more than a third for the more beautiful mitzvah, is mishal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pay him back in this world. That's not on your own account. That's Hashem's account. That'll pay you back in this world. Nothing more continues with the next Mishnah in our parak, in our Masechta, that related to the halacha of the liability when the person has something that causes damage to another person. So the Mishnah says, Kol shechavti bishmirasai, whatever it is that I'm obligated to watch the thing, hechsharti es niskai, if it causes damage, that means ultimately that I prepared and I've made it to cause damage because I didn't watch it appropriately. So therefore I'm going to be liable. Now, hechsharti bimiktas niskai, but if let's say I prepared only part of the damage, the Gemara is going to explain exactly what does that mean, then chavti b'tashlumi niska kehech shekol niska, it's still, you're going to be liable for the payment of the damage as if you prepared and caused all of the damage. Now the Mishnah continues and says, if I damage nechasim she'en behem mila, properties that there's no halacha of me'ila to them, the halacha of misappropriation, that's the type of thing, if I damage it, I'm going to have to pay. In other words, but in contrast, if let's say I damage something of hekdesh, which there would be me'ila if I'd misappropriate, then there's no liability for damages done to it, which all halachas of damage are learned out from the pasuk by, when it talks about shoyigach, by Karen, it says shoyre'ehu, when it gores the ox of his friend, that's when you chayv, but when shoy shel hekdesh, then you're going to be exempt. So nechasim that have me'ila, you're exempt, it's only things that don't have me'ila. Or nechasim shehen shel b'nei bris, or if the damage was done to properties of a person of the covenant, in other words, another Jew, which excludes a non-Jew, where, again, a Jew would not be liable for the damages. Or has to be something that's nechasim hamiyuchadim, something that's distinct, that has an individual that owns it, which excludes hefker, something that's ownerless, where if, let's say, I cause damage to something of hefker, then I'm going to be putt, and the Gemara is going to explain what does that mean. Of course, who's going to be tevei and who's coming and claiming him. But that's the halacha, that it's only something of miyuchad to a person, but if it's hefker, then there's no liability for hezek. Now, moreover, the Mishnah says, u'b'chol makom, in every place, we said that the mazik is going to be liable where his property caused damage to someone else, if it's someone that's a Jew and it's something that's owned by an individual. However, chutz, there's an exception, mishus hamiyuchedes lamazik, if it's the property that's distinct for the damager. In other words, if the ox of the damaged party comes into the property of the mazik, and then the mazik's ox gores and damages the damaged party's ox, then the mazik is exempt. Because he says, what's called Turcha Bershusi, my bayi. What is your ox doing in my property? You're going to hold me responsible for your ox coming to my property, my ox going yours? Rishus HaMiyuchedis LaMazik, that's his private property. If his ox causes damage, he's going to be exempt. So too, and this is, will be explained in the Gemara, what phrase is this going on? Rishus HaNizik VaHamazik. And the property of the that's jointly of the one who is damaged and of the mazik, that also, which I'm going to explain what's this going on. Is it going on the previous statement that he's going to be exempt, or is it actually going on the next statement, which is kishahizik, when he damages, chava mazik l'shal. Then the mazik is liable to pay, which Rashi says over here, that this was what was expounded in the beginning of the perek, that the term kishahizik chava mazik, that when it causes damage, then the mazik is liable. What's that coming to say? That's coming to include Karen, which is that because actually, although it says the same terminology in the first Mishnah, in the beginning of the Masechta, and that says Rashi, that wasn't being expounded by the Gemara previously because that's not superfluous. That's coming to say the primary halacha, Kishahizik HaVamazik. So rather, it was this terminology over here, Kishahizik HaVamazik, that Lasham, they has to pay, that's going on to include Karen, which according to the interpretation that Shane and Regal are what's Mava and Shire, then it didn't say Karen, so that's being included from this terminology. And he has to pay Tashlumi Nezik B'Meitabar, he has to pay the completion of the damages from the best of his land, which is the halacha of Idis. The Gemara brings a braisa that elaborates on the halacha of our Mishnah. Turn around and the braisa. Koshachavti B'Shmirasa, we said in the Mishnah, whatever I'm responsible to watch, Ichsharti Yaz Nizka, that means to say I've caused the damage and then I have to go ahead and pay up the damage. Says the braisa Ketzat. What case would that be talking about? That would be too much shayr or bar, if let's say someone has an ox or a pit, shemesaron lecher shayt bekatan, who he gives it over to take care of to a deaf mute or a mentally deranged person or a minor, vizeka, and then that thing causes damage. That's what the Braisa says, the Mishnah is saying, chayv l'shalom, that he's liable to pay. Masha inkim be'ish, which would not apply by the halacha of fire, which the Gemara is going to explain the reasoning for that. So the Gemara says, b'mayiskin, what are we talking about? What's the case? If it's toma where the ox was tied, or it was a pit that was covered, the kavasoga be'esh. What would the equivalent be regarding the mazik of fire? Would be gachelis. Would be something that's also basically protected, which would be a coal, which is not flaming. Only if you would flame it, but it's a coal. It's contained, just like a tied ox and a covered pit. But then the question is, the maishnahocha. Then what is the difference between the two of them? Why is the Braisa saying that by the pit and by the ox you're liable? Even though basically it's protected, and the equivalent is by fire, that's also basically protected. Why by fire are you exempt? So what are you going to say? Of course, by there you should be exempt by the shor and bar. So when you, why you chayv? So much in ox that's untied, and it's a pit that's uncovered. But you put these people that don't have das, that don't have intelligence, to watch over it. Where, so therefore you're liable. Now, the kavasagav esh, what would the equivalent be by fire? Shalhevis would be a flame. You gave him a flaming coal. Now, Masha Inkin be'esh the potter, so therefore the Gemara asks, so how do we understand the Braisa? Whereas by fire you're going to be exempt? But Va'amr Shlokesh Mishmei Dechizkiah, but Shlokesh explains the name of Chizkiah later on, Perka Kainis and Daphne Tesma Beis. He says, Lo Yishon, we didn't learn that if someone sends a fire in the hand of a Chereshite of a cotton that is exempt from Dine Adam, at least in the courts over here, that's Elisha Musla Gechels Valiba. That's only if you gave to these people that don't have such high intelligence, you gave a coal, and then the cheresh went and flamed it up, where then you're not responsible for the fact that the cheresh did such a thing. But if you give him a flame, then you're liable. Says Rosh Lakish, my time, what's the reason? The habari hazeka, because that's something that's ready to cause damage right away. A flaming fire, you give it over to a child, what do you think? You don't think it's going to cause some type of a damage? So then the question is, and then how do we understand the case? So why is the Braisa saying, Mashenkim Be'esh, if the equivalent of what you're saying is when you're liable by Shurim Bar, when it's open and uncovered, then and that was not tied down, so then why by fire? We see from Rish Lakish such an equivalent, which is a flame, you should be Chayiv too. So the Gemara says, La'ilam B'Shur Kasher Bar Mechus. The truth is, it's talking about that the ox is tied and you give it over to the miner. And the pit is covered. And therefore the equivalent by fire is a coal. Now that's why by fire you're going to be exempt, because it's a coal. And the coal, you're not giving him something really dangerous. If he flames it up, well, I should think that he should do something like that. I'm not responsible for that. Now, but then this that we had said, then what's the difference here, what's the difference there? Then why are you chayiv, why are you liable then by the shur and the bur? Then you should also say you should be exempt just like by the fire. That the Gemara says, no, shur darchei lentuke. It's normative for an ox to get untied, and the owner should have entertained that idea. So therefore, even if the cheresh would not have untied him, the ultimate would have been that the ox would have gotten out himself. So therefore, by having an ox just tied with a mentally deranged person or deaf mute watching him, that's not an appropriate enough safeguarding. Now, therefore, that's the halacha that even if the cheresh himself is going to be untying it, the Baal HaShor is going to be liable because it doesn't make a difference. Yes, I know ultimately he ended up doing it, but you're liable because you didn't do an appropriate shmirah. Just leaving an ox tied, that's not good enough. You got to have someone that has full das, full intellect, watching over it because he can get out. So to bar darchi l'nturi, it's very normative for a pit to fall in, to collapse, whatever the covering that was done over there. So therefore, just having it covered is not an appropriate shmirah. And again, therefore, even if the cheresh himself uncovered it, the owner of the pit is going to be liable because he didn't do his shmirah that was appropriate for it. Whereas gacheles, but whereas by a coal, common to shavuk law, as much as you leave a coal by itself, ma'amya amyiva azla, it would keep on dimming and dimming until it goes out. Now, this that the cheresh himself flamed it up, that the owner of the coal should not have entertained to think that he's going to do something like that. So therefore, the difference is regarding what would happen if the cheresh didn't do anything. By a bar and shur, you're liable. You didn't do a good shmirah. By itself, the shur could get out, the pit could fall in. And therefore, although the cheresh does it, you're still liable. You didn't do your shmirah. But by the coal, there, if the cheresh wouldn't have done anything, it would have gone out. Therefore, I'm not responsible for the cheresh that he did something and made it into a flame. By a flame, I'd be liable, but by coal, you're going to be exempt. That's the difference between a shur and a bar on the one hand and esh on the other hand. Now, the Gemara continues to ask and says, but according to Rabbi Yechon, that he says over the Imperik HaKoinis, Afila Masterloi Shal Heves Nami Potter, even if you give a deaf, mute, mentally deranged, minor, a flame, you're going to be exempt, which now you have to understand what the Brisa means when it says Masha Inkim Be'esh. It was talking about a flame. So the Kavasa Hacha, so then the equivalent over here is, when the Brisa is saying that you're liable by Shur and Bar, is Bishar Mutu Ubar Magula, must be talking about when the ox is untied and the pit is uncovered, then Maishnahacha, Maishnahacha, then what's the difference? Say what's the difference over there? Why is it that you're chayiv by the Sharim Bar? What, because you left it untied? Yeah, but I gave it to the Cheresh Shadav Kod to watch it. Well, they can't watch it. Well, then why is it any different by the fire? Well, fire? Fire is going to go ahead and the wind just takes it. It's not just a coal. So why by the fire are you exempt, but over here you're chayiv? So the Gemara says, the difference is Hassam, over there by the fire, even though it's a flame you gave him, you're exempt, is Kutsavsa the Cheresh Kagar. What ultimately caused the fire when this guy's other field got burnt up by the fire? It's the Cheresh himself that caused the fire by him holding on to it. What did he do? It's Cheresh. He went and he took it to the other person's grain and burnt it up. Now, Hacha, light Tzavsa the Cheresh Kagar, but over here by the Nshar in the Bar, it's not the holding of the Cheresh that caused it. The ox went by itself and caused the damage. So to the pit, it's someone that fell into it. In other words, it wasn't through the action of the cheresh that caused the damage, and therefore the baal is going to be chayav. The fundamental difference is, you're right, fire, things could happen. But it's not me that caused the damage. It was the cheresh that caused the damage. He went and he took it. That, says Rabbi Yechanan, you're not liable for, even though it says shel heves. In conscious distinction to the shur and the bar, where it was you. You untied, and the fact that it was open is that wasn't. And when the damage is, although yes, maybe the same negligence you had by fire, but ultimately you didn't cause it over there. The cheresh caused it, so therefore you're exempt. If it would have been something that would have happened from your own negligence, maybe you would be chayiv. But over here, when you have the cheresh of a cotton watching it, it's not their negligence that ultimately is the causation of the damage. The ox goes on its own. The pit, it acts on its own function as someone falling into it, and therefore that's why there's a difference in the brisa according to Rabbi Yechanan regarding when it's a high level of negligence of a shur that's untied and a bar that's open and a fire that's a flame. By the fire, you're going to be exempt because it's the tzavs of the cheresh kagarmla, whereas by shur and bar, you're going to be chayiv because ultimately it was your own cause. It wasn't the cheresh of the bekotin that caused the damage.